and renewal and liberation and growth. So I guess my prayer is may we all be renewed and liberated, and may we grow in the awareness of the holiness that our life is. You heard Reverend Joyce say we're celebrating 100 years of teaching our teaching the science of mind. And this month our theme is where humanity and divinity meet. And we've been exploring that, what lives in us. We've been exploring what does it mean to live a spiritual life in this world. We've been exploring what is your spiritual self, my spiritual self. You know, what does that mean? I know who I am in the world. Maybe you do too. You know, I'm a person, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a brother, I'm a sibling. I may even know what my skills are, what my job is, what my talents are. I'm a musician, I'm a minister, I'm a carpenter, I'm a student. I might even be aware of what my feelings are, my joys and my disappointments. You know, I'm happy when I'm in love and I'm not happy when I'm not in love and so on. And yet all of these labels, all of these identifiers, they change like the seasons, like the full moons. Now, the spiritual self, though, is that part of us that doesn't change, even when everything else changes. So, an Easter message. Though things around me change, and they will, though things around me come to an end, and they do, my spiritual self is that part of me that stays, that continues, that doesn't end, that doesn't stop. In this human journey called life, well, it's characterized by change. It is change. Things do end, and that touches us very, very deeply because we have to deal with it. We have to deal with change every single day in all the places we don't want to. In relationship, in families, in jobs, in bodies. We have all the challenges and joys and celebrations and losses that go with change. And spiritual living means remaining aware that at the same time that change is happening in my life, at exactly the same time that I'm living my complicated life and dealing with this cycle of never-ending changes, that there is something in me that is untouched by all of it. Something that is always peaceful, always kind, no matter what is going on around me. And we call that our spiritual nature, or maybe we can call it that place where humanity and divinity meet. So I guess our work then is to remember as best as we can what lives in us so that we can return our attention to it, so that we can call upon it, so that it may come alive in us and live through us in this crazy, beautiful, frustrating, delightful world. This Sunday is an excellent day to celebrate the holiness of the life that lives in us because it is Easter Sunday. It's the day that is set aside in the Christian world to honor and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Our own founder, Ernest of Holmes. Could be. I'm Edward of Fillion, and he was Ernest of Holmes. In his final Easter message, he talked about the great hope and the great expectation that we have that we shall continue to live in whatever form is appropriate. That whatever it is that makes us alive and aware and awake and creative, that it shall continue beyond the grave. And he talked in his last message about the conversation between the disciples and Jesus when the disciples asked Jesus, what is God's relationship to the dead? And Jesus answered, saying, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrapped his whole Easter message around that, talking about how he certainly had confidence that we would continue in some form. But at the same time, he urged us, he asked us to live the best life we are capable of living today. And not to let our focus on the life to come rob us, prevent us from living the best life we know how to live right now. And in that final Easter message, he said, and I like the words so well that I put them here. He said, in other words, Jesus was saying God is life and life cannot produce death. God is love and love cannot create hate. God is peace and joy, and God is right where you are all of the time. Not only in this world, but in the next world, which was as real to Jesus as this one is to us. So it is customary at Centers for Spiritual Living at Easter time for us to celebrate eternal life as something that we are living right now. And so we celebrate it by celebrating life and love and peace and joy as the qualities of the divine that have the power to renew us, to inspire us, to set us free when, if we turn to them and accept them in our hearts as the truth of who we are. That's when they can come to life in this world and shine through us. In other words, our message at Centers for Spiritual Living is not to wait for love in some future time. Not to wait for freedom that will come later. Not to hope for peace to come afterwards, but to let these qualities come alive now. And people will ask me, as they do, but do we believe in the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth? Well, I don't know how to answer that for anybody else. I mean, I can only answer it for myself and you for you. It's a matter of private faith. And when I think about events of 2,000 years ago, when it comes to that, I can say for my part, with absolute respect to my Christian and Buddhist and Hindu friends, I don't know about events that far back in the past. I barely know what happened yesterday. But I do know about the power of story, of great stories, epic stories. I do know that stories have always had the ability to inspire humankind to do greater things than they did before. And I believe in that. So whatever inspires me to live a better life, whatever inspires me to be a kinder person, whatever inspires me to get up when I've fallen down, whatever inspires me to live again when some part of me feels like it has died, I call that inspiration good and holy and worth celebrating. And whatever is coming in the next world, I trust that I will be better off for having given this life the best that is in me now. Many things inspire me. I don't pretend to be able to make sense of what will move me and what won't. I mean, just the other day I was listening to some old music, you know, my iTunes library wouldn't sync. You know how that is? And so I stumbled upon some old music. I found Joni Mitchell. You know, what a bard, what a poet, what a mind, what an artist. And it was a holy moment because, you know, it made me want to love life better. It made me want to look at life from both sides now, you know. It changed me. And I was cycling through Sonoma County and all of the yellow in bloom, you know, and the garbage. Yeah, and the streets. And it woke me up to, am I a good steward of this planet? Something was born new in me. Can I respect the environment even better? The other day I was reading about, and then I saw the video of this father whose young daughter died unexpectedly, and she was an organ donor. And he cycled 1,500 miles to meet the man in whose body his daughter's heart was beating. You know, I mean, what a holy moment. Well, I brought it along to show you. I don't know anything about this man, these men in the videos, you know. I mean, somebody could ask me, did I fact check the video? You know, I didn't. I don't need to. You know, but what I know is I'm going to be a better human being as a result of witnessing that. You know, so then my Easter prayer can be, may Abby's heart bring my heart back to life again. May I cherish life in this world and the next. May I share whatever I can to bring the fullness of life to others. You know, stories of bravery and humanity, they inspire me too. Like the story of Janusz Korczak. During World War II, he ran an orphanage for Jewish children. He dedicated his whole entire life to their welfare. And then when the Nazis came to take the children to the infamous extermination camps, he refused to leave them, even though he could. He was given the opportunity. He could have. He could have saved himself. But he stayed with them to the end to soothe their fears and to let them know that he loved them. Now, there are different accounts of the facts of what happened. But, you know, you can get all mixed up in the facts. I don't care. I don't let myself get distracted by that much. Because what matters to me is, can I be a better person as a result? In this life, as a result of his bravery, can it birth in me something? You see, because his kindness and his humanity, it created a beacon of light in a time of cruel darkness. Maybe my Easter prayer can be, may Janusz Korczak's courage bring my courage back to life. May I never abandon a child in need. May I never choose my own comfort and my own safety at the expense of those who cannot defend themselves. See, I'll take inspiration wherever I can find it. I will. And I most certainly find it in the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. And so today I find it in the story of Easter and its message. Oh, it's beautiful message. Its message is that things, when they end, are not over. You got to love that. Not in this life and not in the next, whatever that may be. See, I'm the kind of person who likes a lot of inspiration. I need a lot of stimulation. You know, I find it difficult to say I'm only going to focus on this, my teaching, the science of mind. And I won't let anything else in. I can't do that. No other sources are allowed. There's too much goodness in the world. There's too much inspiration in the faith traditions of the world. I want it all. You know, and I was thinking, I was laughing, joking about, I was remembering when I was studying Hinduism And I was reading about the difficulties that the early Christian missionaries had because they couldn't properly convert the Hindus. They couldn't get it right. Because the Hindus would sit down and listen to the missionaries very respectfully, I mean sincerely, and they took it all in. And here's the thing, they believed it. Of course, to them it made good sense. The Christian story made good sense. One God in a heavenly realm, yes. Absolutely. Who comes to earth as his own self in the form of his own offspring? Absolutely. Who is betrayed and murdered and dies? Yes. Who then comes back to earth alive and then ascends back into the heavenly realm? Yes. Absolutely. To the Hindus, none of this was unusual. I love that. You know, they said yes to inspiration. You know, Hinduism is full of that kind of thing. Filled up with stories that defy facts. And to them it is deeply satisfying because it inspires them to be better people. To respect family. To fulfill their duty and to revere life. There's an Easter prayer. May I respect family. May I fulfill my duty. May I revere life. So the power for me is in the inspiration. You know, not so much in the facts. I mean, sometimes I lead with my intellect and then I'll be focusing on what happened exactly and I can lose the thread of the inspiration. If you've ever read the epic poem, the Ramayana, from Hinduism again, you know that the stories are fantastic. You know, when I take people to Bali, I sit adults down like you and me, and I tell them the story of the Ramayana, and there they are. They've all become 5 years old, and they're sitting on the edge of their seat, yearning to know what happens next. How will the hero in the story make sense of injustice, betrayal, and wrongdoing? And the story is filled up with flying machines and demons and champions and resurrections and ascensions and holy men and holy women and holy children and saints and sinners and betrayals and reconciliations and all of it. Every word of it to tell the exact same story that the Bible tells over and over again, whether it's through the book of Job or the Passover story or the story of the resurrection and the ascension. And I'm not talking about the history or the facts of what happened. I'm talking about the message, the eternal message that is woven through it all, the message that we want to hear over and over again to remind us. And it is this, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That God is the power at the center of our lives, that is the source of our love and our light and our peace and our strength. And even if we should fall into the darkest death-like sleep and forget our heritage, it, the love of God within us, remains alive. Ready at any moment to help us take our place among the living again and to be joyous again. And even when I think all is lost, it, the presence of God within me, is not lost. It did not die and it will not. It did not end and it cannot. And my question for me this Easter is, will I remember to turn to that love? Will I let it come back to life in me? Our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote that for every death, there is a resurrection. That's the way of life. But he warned us that no person can become resurrected to love if they will not put down hate. See, he was talking about the Easter message again. He was talking about those life moments, you know, like after the death of a dream, after a betrayal or a disappointment, after a period of hardship, you know, after something ends in our life. He's talking about that moment that comes after, when we are called to have the courage and the faith to pick up the pieces and to emerge again and to start again. And he called that resurrection in this life. And the message he shared with us is this, that we cannot come out of the tomb of that ending exactly the same as the way we went into it. We will be changed. We'll have to leave behind whatever it was that held us back in the first place. Whether in this life or the next. Something must give way so that we can emerge. So I leave you with these Easter questions. They're questions I'm thinking of. Where in your life is it time for you to come back to the living? What might you need to put down that is holding you back from emerging? And most importantly, where will you turn for the inspiration to do that act of renewal? Whether it is Abby's heart or Janice Kirchick's courage or the love that Jesus of Nazareth preached, wherever it is that you turn, may you let it come alive in you for the benefit of this world now and also for whatever is waiting for us on the other side. So I invite you to breathe in with me and to exhale, let your eyes close as we join in a moment of prayer. As we heard in the opening prayer, there is only one life, one presence, one divinity that connects us all, that is the love that creates the universe, that is our home and resting place, now and forevermore. We rest in this awareness that our lives, though they may appear to be individual and unique, are part of one beautiful holiness, and that we are forever at home in the heart of God. And so with this in mind, then, I speak with sincerity a blessing for all creation, and I let this blessing that I speak align my thinking into right thinking so that wherever I look, I see the evidence and the opportunity to bring more love into the world, to share more goodness, to feel more kindness. And with this prayer, I am remembering that this world is filled up with messages and hints and ideas and suggestions for how to birth the love and the joy and the goodness of God. In this day and through this prayer, I have been made new. And together we say, and so it is. I invite you to breathe in deeply with me, followed by a sigh, as we let that breath, that movement in our body, make the transition from our prayer time into our offering time while the choir comes back on the stage, because they're going to sing Psalm 23 to us, and that's going to be beautiful. And at the same time, we will be receiving the offering. So I invite you to take your gift in your hand, and if you gave in another way, electronically say, for example, I invite you to place your hand on your chest as a symbol of your gift and say after me, I bless this gift. I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, won't you please receive the gift? Thank you.